You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and you're in touch with Wiggins World of Wellness, and I'm Stacy Wiggins, and this is radio the way it should be heard. All right, it has been a while since I've been with you, so let's update you and get you back on page, or get you back on speed as to how my life has been doing and things that I've enjoyed, endured, and maybe a couple lessons of learning from that. All right. I am, I'd say not freshly back, but at least 10 or so days back from my trip from the Philippines. And it was more business than it was pleasure or vacation. And it was a very good time. It certainly was. But in that time, in which time, I had quite a challenge with a case of diarrhea. And we're not going to talk about the whole show about it, but boy, we're going to talk a little, a good amount about it, because like I said, it was a learning moment, not only for myself, but a teachable moment, I think, for my listening audience as well. So, let's get into it, shall we? All right. On my trip, I actually had prepared, or had someone who was going to prepare, some food for me. So, you know how when you go on a plane flight and the food they offer you is not too highly nutritious, and oftentimes too much salt and too many other preservatives. So while you are taking that flight to wherever you're going, you're actually reacting and responding to some of the food chemicals that they are serving you. So I wanted to avoid that, and I wanted to have my own good nutrition. I wanted to have the things that I knew that would help me endure a very long flight. And, it didn't happen. So I did have to eat the food that the flight service offered, and I think that was the beginning of my downfall, from which time I never really was able to regain a very good feeling in my stomach, in my GI tract. And so it made the stay rather strenuous. I still got a chance to, you know, do activities and do the things that I went there and work on people and to, explore the Philippines. But it certainly took a big part of me out of play. And I think that most of us, when we do travel, we need to realize that in the traveling that you're doing, you are taking your body from the environment that you're normally used to, wherever you live, and exposing it to a new and different environment. And that, of course, is going to be a whole host of different microbes, of dust, of molds, of mildews, funguses, whatever that may be there that you're arriving to. So I also have to admit, now this is a big admission here, that I took chaga mushroom with me, and I thought that that would pretty much take care of anything I was going to run into. And it probably helped a whole lot. I'm sure it did. However, I did fail to bring some of the most basic things that anyone should have with them when they travel. And I'm talking even if they hop in the car and go a couple hours away from where they live. And if you're going to stay there a day or night or a couple days, you really need to have a few of these things. And let me cover those right now. Activated charcoal. Activated charcoal is, well, it's been used in all of the emergency rooms in the hospitals throughout the United States. Activated charcoal is the fastest acting component that you can use to help reduce any type of poisoning, any most type of poisonings that you're exposed to, whether it be a foodborne poisoning, maybe even airborne, waterborne poisoning. Activated charcoal is the same exact charcoal that's used in water filtration units. So is that beginning to make sense to you? Activated charcoal is a godsend. Did I take it? Nope. Whew. I don't need to spank myself because I already got my own punishment, so, and that's over with, thank God. So, number one on your list, whenever you travel anywhere, take activated charcoal. It is inexpensive. You can take it in a capsule form. You can take it in a pill form or in a powder form itself. And what it will help you do is, let's say that you did have some type of exposure to some bad food. If you take 3, 4, 5 of those capsules soon after and then maybe followed up a half an hour later, you can more likely than not, in most cases, avoid that intoxication, that poisoning that's going to occur from that substance. Also, activated charcoal is a very good indicator to help you understand your bowel transient time. And what I mean by that is our food intake and food elimination should have a timing to it, a frequency. And good digestion would indicate anywhere between, a minimum of 17, 19 hours. And once you get over, say, 30 hours, 27 to 30 hours, then you're getting into slow digestion. And then, of course, there's chronic poor digestion, which would be 35 hours or more. And what I mean by this is if you are taking activated charcoal, say you take it 12 o'clock on a Monday, and so you observe the next time that you have bowel movements, do you notice any of the stool being black? Once you see the black occur, that is an indication of activated charcoal in, activated charcoal out. That's an indication of your bowel transient time. It's an indication of how well, how slow, how fast your digestive system is acting. And so that in of itself is very good knowledge to have, because we all need to know and we all need to understand just how well, how good, or how poor our digestion is working. Because after all, and I learned this many, many, many years ago from Mrs. Hsu, Mrs. H.S. Hsu. She had a store up on Sawmill Road. And I would go there every day for lunch. And, oh my goodness, it was the best, the absolute best sprout sandwich I've ever had in my life. It would be a whole wheat bread, a couple hands full of sprouts, sliced cucumber, sliced tomato, and back in those days, the cucumber and the tomatoes were fantastic tasting, and some type of sauce that was mixed in with Briggs liquid aminos. And I mean to tell you, one sandwich would just really satisfy you. Two sandwiches kind of put you over the edge, but one for sure. I mean, if anybody was contemplating to being a vegetarian or contemplating on, you know, bringing in more green live foods, that is where I took them. That is where I introduced them to the sprout sandwich, because it was so tasty and it was so filling. So anyway, Mrs. Hsu had a large chart on her wall, and she also had a saying that death begins in the colon. Now, you may have seen this or you may have heard it before, but it really didn't make deep sense to me. It really didn't ring real true until later on, as you learn more and study the whole anatomy of your digestive system, that statement is probably one of the most truth statements out there, that death, in fact, does begin in the colon. And of course, reversing dysfunction would also mean that life is extracted from the colon. Absolutely. So as I was into my trip and I arrived in the Philippines, I drank bottled water all the time. which I always know to do. And I bought pretty much the same salads that I had last time. Went down to the grocery store at the basement mall. And it was probably the contamination of some of the salads, contamination of some of the other foods that I had. Needless to say, I could not pull out of the downward spiral, the overrunning of the bacteria that I was being invaded with. And I was able to function. You know, every day I was able to get up and do some stuff and maybe even go to the gym, work out. But still, I was left with hunger pains that I've never experienced before. I was left with energy drops throughout the day. Had to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon, which is very uncommon for me. And, of course, you know, you have to make sure you time your bathroom visits out right so you don't get caught short or caught in a place where you have to go and you can't go. Yeah, it was one of the first times that I remember that, wow, I need a second pair of underwear. Oh, boy. Anyway, so the gut reaction that I had was not good. And I also noticed, because when I took the trip over there, I was actually at the top of my game. You know, I was working out. I had, probably a great resting pulse rate of maybe about 48 beats per minute, which is fantastic. It's kind of Olympic level resting pulse rate. Actually, it was probably the heaviest muscle mass that I've ever had. It's probably at 215 pounds, 213 to 215. And I was feeling good, looking good. And by the time I came back from the Philippines, I was at 202 pounds. My resting pulse rate was up to 68. That's a 20-point gain, 20 points, 20 beats per minute increase. Boy, I wasn't too happy about that. So there was a lot of ground that I lost. There was a lot of health that I had maintained throughout, you know, my time. And the trip really extracted it. It took it out of me. Which people say, hey, how's the trip? I say, it was good, but, you know, it was kind of tough, too. And that was the part of it. That was a part of it. And let's get back to that chart that Mrs. Hsu had up on her wall. Death begins in the colon. Now, on that chart she had, it was a very enlarged, blown-up chart. And at different parts of the digestive system, there were symptoms that were pointing the arrow to, such as poor eyesight was at one level. Anger was at another level. Back pain was at another part of the colon. And then prostate problems and other various diseases and symptoms had their own reflex area to the colon. So is this making sense to you now? The statement, death begins in the colon, is absolutely true, because just like foot reflexology, if you've ever seen a chart, you know, if you put your 2 feet together, your big toes refer to your head, and the middle of your arches refer to your spine, and the outside part of your feet where your little toes are, that would be neck and shoulders. That's the memory I have of it. And when a foot reflexologist is working on you, and they're manipulating your feet, and they run across an area that, you know, makes you go ouch, that they feel it's tight, or maybe some granules, or, you know, a lot of tension in that area, they may very well say, oh, this is connected to your shoulder, or this has a relationship to your digestive system, or wherever they're at, and whatever that reflex area indicates. Well, I'm here to tell you that this stuff is no shiggity true. It is very true. Now, you can have people experience that on the level of reflexology to their feet or reflexology to their hands, or you can have them experience this as reflexology to the colon. And what I mean by this is, whenever I had a symptomology or symptoms, wherever I had a flare-up and my stomach was really, really hurting, the middle of my back would seize up. the middle of my back would be extremely tight. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I wasn't tight here before. What happened? Well, what happened was whenever a part of your colon is in distress, so will that reflex or refer to a part of your body. That term's called somatic pain, if you've ever heard of that before. Somatic, soma means body, and pain. So what's happening is your body is experiencing pain because of the discomfort, dysfunction that you are experiencing in your digestive system. Okay? Listen to those words. Your body is experiencing pain because of the dysfunction, discomfort, or whatever is going awry in your digestive system. So this really, let me help you connect some dots here. This really has everything to do with everything else. When you have chronic body pain, whether it be a chronic knees, whether you have arthritis, pretty much any disease state can be taken back, can be referred back to a part of that digestive system, which may be out of sync, which may be dysfunctional or totally shut down. Because you must remember, you have approximately 27 feet of digestive system, of your GI tract, from your mouth to your anus is approximately 27 feet. It is a system within a system. It's a enclosed tube that reacts and responds to the foods and the substances that you bring in and reacts and responds to the body as well. So what I'm trying to say here is if you are experiencing some chronic disease, if you are experiencing some chronic pain or any type of chronic disorder, you may very well, you'll do yourself a great service if you look into how your digestive system works. Now, I know this for a fact because I have been pain-free. That's one of the things that I tout of my healthy living. I have lived a pain-free life for probably well over 17 years. And part of that pain-free existence, a large part of that existence, has to do with proper digestion. Now, of course, I work out real hard. I play hard. I do very physical activities. And so it's not like I'm just hanging around being a couch potato and not pushing myself. And by allowing my body to be as strong as it can only occur when you have good digestion. So I'm really wanting to bring this point home because I lost my good digestion. I lost my ability to properly assimilate, eliminate, and extract food and the nutritional value that it has. And I could feel how bad it was. Not only did I have the regular symptoms of, you know, diarrhea, loss of energy, things like that, but I also had cramps. I had backaches. I had sometimes I like to call this bed rot, you know, when you sleep in a position for too long and your body just gets stiff, it gets tight, it gets tired. Well, that happens when your body is out of sync. So there's a direct correlation, a direct reflection of your health tied to your digestive system. I want those dots to be connected. Your chronic body pain has everything to do with your chronic indigestion, digestion, or lack of proper assimilation. So how do we even get a handle on this? I think first it's really important to realize that you aren't who you think you are.